This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I called my father, and instead of saying hello, he said, "You son of a..."
Let's look in Hebrew what XIPA means, okay? Let's look what happened. And there it is. Look, I'm going to click play. Listen very carefully. Listen to how it sounds like.
Hira. Hira.
Hira. Hira. Oh my goodness. Guys, the first miracle is that in the Bible, it literally says the book will be given to the one who is illiterate, saying, "Please read this," and you'll say, "I cannot read." This is literally what Muslims believe.
Wow, so he's threatening you with the inheritance now. That's it. All the money is going to be gone.
It's either Islam or it's us. And remember, I told you that I've been raised like Mus'ab ibn Umair, very, very well off, out of my whole lineage, which comes from Norway. He said, "You know your inheritance. You know that the house and the land and everything." أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد
يا شبابا قد أنابا وإلى
Alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, as you can see, we've acquired the property and we're getting right to work. And with your du'as and support, we can go ahead and get the masjid and mega da'wah center up, open and running, inshallah. Imagine every person that prays here, gets educated and guided to Islam here. You'll get a part of all those blessings and rewards, inshallah. What are you waiting for, brothers and sisters? You're going to leave it all behind anyway. So go ahead and invest in your hereafter that's everlasting. Click the link below. Donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings and peace. Welcome to the Deen Show. I'm your host. Subscribe if you haven't already so you don't miss exciting episodes and stories like this one with my next guest. For the first 19 years of his life, he was a Christian. Things started to change for him when he was 7 years old, when he entered the church for the first time and witnessed people speaking in tongues, running down the aisles and rolling on the floor. It scared him as a child. And then now at the age of 14 years old, he was going to the church 3 days a week, Wednesday's Bible study, Friday youth night, and Sunday's church. But one night at Bible study, everything took a turn when he found certain contradictions in the Bible. And when he asked his teacher about these contradictions, he was told just to believe and have faith without getting the answers to his questions. He continued from that point on being a Christian from the outside, but his belief on the inside was gone. He goes by the name of Maliki Click, and he's here to let us know more about his journey and what happened next.
Let me introduce you to my faith. We have one God, his name's Allah. And his final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
You are loving me, mashallah, all the work that you're doing.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
Yes, and I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, Ali.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Eddie, big fan. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, brother. How you been?
Alhamdulillah. Everything's good. Alhamdulillah.
So let's get right into your journey. So for the first 19 years a Christian, and then talk to us about this experience now as a child, 7 years old. You walk in and what happens when you go to
I walked into the church, and it was just like, you know, as a seven-year-old child, you know, you picture church as this quiet place and, you know, you sing a couple of hymns and whatnot. But I go in as a seven-year-old child and I see people just crying and running up and down the aisles and rolling on, you know, around on the floor and speaking a language that I've never heard before. And it really scared the hell out of me. So I was holding my dad's hand. I actually ripped away and tried to run out of the church at that moment. But he got me back. You know, he held my hand and said, no, this is church. But I mean, honestly, the whole thing was extremely intimidating and I was just lost. I didn't know what was going on as a kid.
For our audience that has no idea, what do you mean by this speaking in tongues? Let's go ahead and show some footage so they can get a better feel and understanding to when you say talking in tongues. What do we actually mean? What's happening? Something similar? Because you have different things happening in different churches, but we saw people speaking what some claim to be gibberish, and then people falling, rolling on the floor. And is this what you were seeing?
Well, those clips were actually a little bit tame to what I was in. You know,
that was tame.
Yeah, that was like the diet version. Like when I went, it was, I mean, imagine, you know, those clips, even though like a 7 year old experiencing that for the first time. But yeah, that was only like 60% of what I experienced in the church.
Later, was it made clear to you what that was? Did you later figure that out?
I was told, because I asked my dad, what's wrong with these people? You know, why are they, you know, crying and shouting? And, you know, even people would stand up as if they were messengers of God. And, you know, I say unto you people, I have a message from the Lord. And I'm just looking at the person like what is this person talking about? Oh, this is crazy. But yeah, I was told that it was a spiritual language. It's a holy language from God that nobody understood except God. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, later on, you know, when I was like 14 years old, well, if it's a language, how come y'all can't understand each other? You know, if a person speaks Spanish to another Spanish speaking person, they're going to understand. But this is just gibberish, 110% gibberish.
Not 100%, 110%. So you think, what's his name? This is JD. This is a famous Christian preacher. You know who this is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What's his name?
I know who he is. I know his face, but I don't know his name.
Yeah, JD Blakes or something. Anyways, do you think he's conscious like of what he's doing? Do you think he's just making up things as he goes along? He knows that this is gibberish. Because there's Christians who will call this out also. Many who will say, like, this is, they'll say it. Christians will say, this is gibberish.
I'm on the way. Fire. Fire. In the name of Jesus.
I don't understand a single thing I think you were saying. Because this is not a biblical interpretation. I keep a silence in the church.
They don't even know what it is. It's so obviously not what it was in the scripture.
I mean, look, this is what it is. It's gibberish. They don't know what they're saying. They're just trying to bring a spiritual aura to the church. But at the end of the day, I know, you know, a lot of other Christians know that Christianity, well, the church is just a huge cash cow. It's all about entertainment. It's all about, you know, charging people's iman, if you want to call it, for Sunday, so they'll give more. It's just a big production, nothing more.
Mm. And then you went on from there, so you had this experience. It's kind of traumatizing, would you say? And then what did you mean actually when your father, when he gave himself, you said he gave himself to Christ, as you define it. What did it actually mean?
Well, I think what he means is he turned his life around for Christ. He started to have a moral compass in his life per the Bible. So that's what I think he means.
because we believe in Christ. I mean, the Messiah translated from the Greeks. This is the name given to Jesus, the Messiah. We believe. You believe that now as a Muslim, don't you?
Of course, 110%. Yeah.
And you love Jesus. I mean, without a doubt, you can't be a Muslim unless you love and revere Jesus, not as a God or literal son of God, but as a messenger of God. So we follow the way of Jesus, which was calling people to worship the creator, not the creation. So
Jesus was a Muslim, period.
Wow. What do people say when you say that Jesus was a Muslim? Do you get a lot of pushback? People are like, what are you talking about? And how do you explain that? Because some people will say right away, well, Islam came later. He was a Christian. What are you talking about? Can you go ahead and unpackage that for us?
I get pushback all the time. I have a YouTube and a TikTok channel, and a lot of people even say, I mean, here's the thing. Christians don't know anything about Islam, yet they say that it's wrong, right? So I've even had I showcase really dumb comments that I get on my TikTok, and people are saying, Allah came 570 years after Christianity. That means that it came. And I'm just thinking, wow, buddy, do you really, really think that? We know as Muslims, and I know both sides of the coin, being a Christian for the first 19 years of my life and a Muslim for 31 years now, I know both sides of the coin. And so they don't know both sides of the coin. And so when you say that Jesus was a Muslim, and that you say that all the Anbiya or all the prophets were Muslim, they just don't get it. They just don't get it because they believe that they're the Firqa Najia, they're the saved sect, and nobody, can attain salvation except through Jesus. And what we're saying as Muslims is, how come the message of Jesus is so unique to all of the prophets? And if Jesus was sent to die, his whole message was true, how come all of the other prophets that came before him and the one that came after him don't affirm that? How come their message is, hear ye Israel, the Lord your God is one? Jesus said that. Hear ye Israel, the Lord your God is one, because, the scribe came to him and so said, oh, master, tell us the most important of the laws. Because Jesus was speaking in the temple and everybody, all eyes were on him, and people were impressed with him. And he said, hear ye Israel, the Lord your God is one. Now, if he was God, if he was a son of God, if salvation was attained through him only, this would be his perfect opportunity to say, hear ye Israel, the Lord your God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the only way that you can attain salvation is through me. But that's the point. He didn't say that. Hear ye Israel, the Lord your God is one. La ilaha illallah. Mm-hmm.
So by saying that he was a Muslim, you're saying he was a submitter to God, to one God. So people say, yes, they'll agree with that. But Muslim just defines that term, submitter to God, one who submits to the will of God.
It defines it exactly. That's what it is.
Yeah, that is really profound and deep. I mean, if people really reflect and think about it, and you are actually someone who is going to what, three times a week? So you're going to a Bible study, you're going to the church, and you're also going to the youth groups, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you were doing that for quite some time, for years, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I was brought up. Mm-hmm. It was just, go to the church 3 days a week, and that was my life.
Talk to us about that. What were some of the things that you were learning there? Was it something that you were cementing your belief? Did you always have doubts? Did it come all of a sudden? Please elaborate on that.
I always believed in God as a young man. I always knew that there was a higher power. But the thing with me in the church and in the youth group is I never really latched on to Jesus being God. As a child, I always saw him as a father figure, a mentor, somebody to be like. When you need inspiration or, what should I do with my life? The thought is, what would Jesus do? And so I never really professed that he was God. 100% in my heart. You know, when we are Muslims, we our hearts, you know, have yaqeen and we say, La ilaha illallah. We negate all other things of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we affirm illallah except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, yeah, I mean, I was just jumping through the hoops. Because here's the thing with a lot of Americans and myself, there's nothing else. There's nothing else. You know, I was raised like Mus'ab ibn Umair, you know, very well off. My whole family is in petroleum, you know, my father, my uncle, my brothers, everybody. And so I didn't want for anything. So I grew up in this white bubble of Christianity. And so that was what you were supposed to be. If you're a white American, you are supposed to be Christian. You cannot be this. You cannot be that. No, this is what you're supposed to be. And so we accept it. And a lot of American citizens accept it because that's what they think. That's all there is. Mm-hmm. So there's nowhere else to go. I can't go to those, the brown religion over here, the Islamic people. I can't do that because I'm, you know, I'm white. But, you know, where was Christianity from? Detroit, Michigan? Mm-hmm. No, it's from the Middle East. So.
But that's not something that's uncommon. You had certain polls that were done that a great number of Christians actually don't believe Jesus is God. They're going in line with their fitra, their innate nature, that he was a human being. They would be in line when you talk to, I'm sure you talk to people if they're sincere, they're open-minded, like you were at that time, and you line them up with all the other messengers, Moses, Abraham, Noah. That goes in line. That makes sense, that he was a messenger, not an actual literal God or a son of God, not a God or a literal son of God. So there's a lot of Christians that favor that, and they don't believe that he's actually God. Did you hear about this poll, this poll that was done?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, we'll get it up here. But yeah, there was a poll that was done. So what happens? The whole time you're not really believing, you're not cemented that Jesus is God, but you're praying. So you're praying to God, the God that Jesus prayed to. You're not actually praying to Jesus, like we see in Jesus' name, Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
I'm praying, and I'm just, how can I say this? I was constantly looking. I'm waiting, and I'm looking for something to really enter my heart. Mm. And so I just went to, you know, Wednesday Bible study to strengthen my, you know, my Bible skills and, you know, learn more about God and the prophets and stuff like that. And it's hard to explain, but I'm just like waiting for something to happen where I can just like have the aha moment or something, or, you know, have that iman burst or whatever you want to call it, being a Christian. But I never got it, you know, quite the opposite, especially when I was 14 years old at the Bible study. So
I can guarantee you, I'm sure there's a lot of Christians right now. And again, we're never trying to disrespect people or their faith or anything, just trying to bring certain things to light that they can ponder and probably reflect upon and probably relate to. And they're probably a lot relating to what you just said. What about the crucifixion?
What about the crucifixion?
What was your stance on that? Did you believe now that when you would do sins, you were just like, well, Jesus paid for him, and you would feel that now his blood was a redemption for your sins via the crucifixion?
The way I looked at the crucifixion, especially in my younger years, you know, from 7 to 14, is I always wondered, why does somebody have to die? Mm-hmm. Why? Why, when, you know, we take the communion, why are we drinking the blood of Jesus? Why are we eating the body of Christ? What's happening here? You know, what? And I think that's the thing that, you know, I was trying to explain. I didn't get that relationship with God. I was always told, well, you got to go through Jesus. And I always thought, as a little boy, but why? Hmm. Why can't I just go to God? And the Trinity, forget it. That didn't make any sense at all. But the crucifixion, I never really believed in it. I never really latched on to it. And, you know, the biggest thing is, why does somebody have to die? For what?
Mm-hmm. So you got all these things going on in your mind, your heart, but finally something happened. These two contradictions or more, something about contradictions happened. You went and you asked your teacher, what about them? He didn't even know they were in the Bible. And then you talk about how just from the outside you're Christian, but the inside it was gone. Talk about this.
I went to a Bible study one night on Wednesday, and we usually get to read 15 minutes before we get into the lesson of the Bible preacher or the Bible leader, Bible study leader. And so I'm reading and I'm just, you know, thumbing through, doing this just randomly. And I come across a verse that says, no man can see God and live thereafter. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, my fitra as a 14-year-old boy, I'm thinking, sounds right. That sounds right because, you know, the majesty and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or God in that time. And then I come to the story of Jacob. And here, not only is Jacob seeing God, but he has a hold of the thigh of God, having a wrestling match with God. And I'm just thinking, what? Wait a minute. Over here, it said that no man can see God and live after that. And now Jacob is having a wrestling match with God. Not only that, Jacob defeats God. And I'm just thinking, I raise my hand immediately and I say to the Bible study leader, look at this verse over here. And he says, yes. And then I said, well, look at this verse over here. Jacob is having, and he said, oh, you know, I've heard of these stories, but I didn't really know that was in there. I was just thinking, how can you not know? How can you not know a huge contradiction like that? You can't see God, or you can see God. You can see God over here and have a wrestling match and beat God, but over here you can't see him and live. And so 14-year-old me was like, no, I have a serious problem with this, and I'm not going to let this go. I need to rectify my heart right now because I'm about to lose faith. And he said, I don't know what to tell you, young man, except that you just got to have faith. And at that moment, I was just like, I don't want to have faith. I'm tired of just having faith in things that don't make sense. I'm tired of having faith in the concept of someone needs to die for me to be forgiven. I'm fed up. And so, you know, I was told, you got to have faith. And he just told me, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how to rectify your belief. I don't know how to calm your heart, except to tell you that you have to have faith. And I just, no. So at 14 years old, right then and there at the Bible study, I checked out of Christianity. And, you know, I still live with my father. My father's a very strict Christian. I couldn't listen to music. I couldn't have girlfriends, you know, 3 days church. And what can I say? I jumped through the hoops of Christianity. I continued to go to church. I continued to go to the youth night. And I continued to go to the Bible study. But nothing was here. Mm-hmm. I had completely checked out.
How did Islam jump into the equation? Did you look into other religions? And then how did you get exposed to Islam?
I never even heard about Islam. And the first contact that I had of Islam, well, kind of a story to that. I got around, you know, some rough people, got around some wrong people, and I actually went to maximum security prison. So I entered the prison system, and I wasn't really looking for anything. And at the time, before I went to prison, and even while I was in prison, I had absolutely no moral compass. I mean, I was an animal. I was wild. I was a savage. I didn't care about your life. I didn't care about my life. I was just wild. And so I really wasn't looking for anything except to just do my time and get out. So I would say about 3 or 4 months into my sentence, I met a man who just randomly approached me on the yard called Omar, and he was Turkish. And he approached me out of the blue. I'm just walking the track by myself, lone wolfing it. And he says, "Hey, man, I just want to ask you something. I just want to ask you a question. What do you know about Islam?" And I said, "I don't even know what that is." Because, again, I grew up in my white bubble. You know, you just don't talk about those things. Those things don't exist because in the Christian mind, those things are below. And so everything is below. And we teach the world. We are the standard of what is right and wrong. That's what they say. So we walk the track, and I'm a person of nature. I love the outdoors. I'm an outdoorsman. And so he began to tell me, you know, isn't it strange, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the sun 93 million miles away from the earth in perfection, you know. And even though the sun is 93 million miles away and the moon is roughly 220,000 miles away, look, they meet and they cause, you know, eclipses and stuff like that. And look at the creation, the trees and the ocean, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything for you. And he told me about Surah Ar-Rahman. And I was just like, okay, this is different. This is different. And so he used to just, him and I used to meet out in the yard and walk and talk. And, you know, he would make his da'wah. And then somehow I got into this combat mode where, wait a minute, so this guy is telling me everything that I had learned as a child is wrong. Okay. So I went to my Bible and I tried to defend my Bible. I tried to defend Christianity. I tried to defend my belief, right? Because this was totally something new and totally something foreign to me. But I couldn't. Everything that I had, every question that I had, he would smile and say, "Mashallah, it's a very good question. Here's the answer." And I just kept on like, this guy has an answer for everything. Not only does he have an answer, it's good. Not only does he have an answer, it's backed up by his book. Not only does he have an answer, it's backed up by scientific proof as well. This might be what I've been looking for my whole life. So I don't know. Do you want me to finish the story?
Yes, please go on.
Okay. So him and I just always used to meet outside in the yard. And, you know, he gave me one day, he showed up. He said, "I want to give you something from me to you, but you have to make sure that you wrap it up in a towel, you take it back to your cell, and you keep it in a clean place." And I said, "Yeah, sure, man. What is it?" So I'm going to give you our holy book. I'm going to give you the Holy Quran. I said, "Oh, wow. Thank you. Yes, I've never read the Quran before. I would love to." And so I took the Quran back to my cell. And the first thing that I did is I turned to the index. I mean, I got this book in front of me. I'm thinking that it's going to be some 1001 Arabian Nights type of stuff. You know, I don't know. And I open up the index and I start looking for names. Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Mary, Jacob, Ishmael, Isaac, Adam, Sheth. All the stories were there. And I just thought, oh, is it just like this book that I rejected when I was 14 years old? Oh my God, it's just like the Bible. Oh. But then I read it. And the first I think surah that I read was At-Takathur. Al-Hakum At-Takathur. The things of this world are diverting you from the truth. And I just thought, that's me. I'm being diverted. Since I was raised so well, didn't want for anything. That's me. And so I kept on reading. I kept on reading. Long story short, I used to read it every day, so much so that my cellmate, told me, he like gave me a nudge one day. He said, "Hey man, it's dinner time, man. You coming out?" And I said, "Oh yeah." Like I snapped out of it. Mm-hmm. He said, "Man, you've been reading that book since breakfast." And I said, "Have I?" Because I was just so engrossed by, it's hard to put into words, brother, but the humanity, the truth, the realness, the answers. It's like, I felt like I was getting the real story that I wanted to find in the Bible. Now I found it, and I found it, and it was put in a way where my heart agreed with it, and it understood what it was saying. When I would read the Bible, it was just like, bro, what? How can this? I don't understand. How could this be? So my fitra, as I read the Quran, was just like, yes, 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 yes. So in my mind, in the back of my mind, I considered what life would be like as a Muslim. Mm-hmm. And the shaitan entered the cell of the maximum security state prison that I was at. You can't be a Muslim. What are you talking about? The Aryan Brotherhood is going to do this, and they're going to look at you weird, and doing time alone is really, because everything Muslims might not understand in the prison system, it just goes by race. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to like it or dislike it. That's what happens. So I was worried about all of these things. You know, what is your family going to think? People are going to look at you like you're like a wannabe, like you're pretending to be someone else.
All these whispers and started to come.
As soon as I imagined being a Muslim, as soon as my heart was like, I love this book. God, finally a book that I can understand. Finally a book.
Were you part of this Aryan Brotherhood? Was this something?
No.
They were just...
When you get into the prison system, it's just like, okay, you seem to be white. Okay. They take your cot and everything, your mattress, and they, you know, they give you things and they instruct you. Okay, look, this is how we roll. You know, we're up at 5 o'clock in the morning and we exercise, and you got to do it. Okay. If something jumps off, we all jump. You know, if somebody jumps, we all jump. We clear on that.
Yeah.
So
go back to what you were saying. You soon lose your point. So you're saying the Quran, then what happened?
Yeah. So months passed, and Omar and I always used to meet in the yard, and my arguments became less and less until they were silent, until I was defeated, until I just listened and I soaked up whatever he said. So when we came out, I would listen and he would speak about what Islam is. Mm-hmm. And I just, I was in a position of, okay, God, I would go back to my cell and I would just say, okay, God, as I was waiting for something to happen as a Christian, I'm waiting for something to happen now. I have always been true to myself, to embrace a truth wherever it came from. So if this is the truth, let it happen. Let something happen. Let something change. And so Omar came up to me one day and he said, "Hey, I was thinking about inviting you to Juma." And I said, "What's Juma?" He said, "You know Sunday church?" "Yep, Sunday church for Muslims. We go on Friday." And so I actually had to fill out a permission slip to go to Juma. Mm-hmm. And the CEO, the officer called me in his office. Yes. And he just looked at me and he said, "Is this your name? Is this your form right here asking permission to go to Juma?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yeah, yes, sir." And he said, "Do you know what Juma is?" I said, "Not really. I'm just going to find out." And he said, "Do you know who goes to Juma?" And I said, "Sir." And he said, "You know, black people go to Juma. Mm-hmm. And you know that you're going to be in the multi-purpose room with them." I said, "Yeah, I know that." He said, what are you doing? And I said, I just, look, it's my right as an American citizen. I just want to see what they're talking about. You know, I'm not a Muslim. I've been invited to a service and I just want to check it out. Mm-hmm. And he just looked at me like with disgust. And it was just like, okay, whatever. Here, I'll sign it. Take your slip. Go. And so Friday came and I didn't know what to expect. I've never been to Jumu'ah before. I didn't know what they were going to do. And so I get there and the Christians meet at the same time, but they go to another room. So the Christians were there and the Muslims were there at the guard post. And the people that were going to Jumu'ah all got strip searched. And I mean, completely naked. And when the Christians came through for their Bible study, oh, go ahead, go through. And I just thought, okay, what's that all about? And so we went into the multipurpose room. And the first thing that I experienced of Islam was the adhan. Mm-hmm. So the brother was just like, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Mm. And I just, oh my God, what? And he, the brother was calling the adhan. And I asked Omar, I said, what is the beautiful song that this man is singing? And he said, yeah, it's not a song. He's calling people to prayer. That's mm-hmm. what we do. And I just said, wow, they call people to prayer. They don't call Christians to prayer. You know, they call you to pay your tithes, uh-huh. but they don't call you to prayer. So we said, okay, let me take you inside and teach you how to make wudu. And I made wudu for my first time. I met Jumu'ah as a non-Muslim, as a mushrik. And so I heard the adhan and we're making wudu now. And I'm thinking, these people are performing a ritual purification for none other than God, none other than the respect of God. And I just thought, wow, yes, yes, this is what I want. This is what Christianity is supposed to be. I mean, going to the church, there's no concept of ghusl or wudu. You just show up. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, wow, that's okay. Another thing that I'm impressed with.
So it started with the adhan. You were fascinated with the adhan. Now we get into the the ablution, wudu, and just keeps getting better, huh?
Just keeps on getting better. And so we went to the main prayer hall in the multipurpose room. And he said, let me just, it was before Jumu'ah, he said, just let me like break it down for you. What's going to happen? He said, basically, it's like Sunday church, except we're going to sit on the floor and the imam or the pastor is going to speak a little bit about Islam. He's got like a little message or a sermon. And then we're all going to stand up and we're going to pray. We're going to read from the Quran. And I said, okay, so you guys stand up or does he read the Quran to you when he prays or what? He said, no, we all line up in one direction. And by the way, this imam, he doesn't read from the Quran. He actually has the entire Quran memorized. I said, Omar, no. That book that you gave me, that book that you gave me that's in my cell, this book, he memorized the whole chapter. The whole book. He said, it's not strange. Millions of Muslims have the Quran memorized and millions and millions and hundreds of millions all the way from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There will always be people that memorize the Quran. And that right there was just like, okay, these people are no jokes. Mm-hmm. They are not a joke. They memorize the Quran, the whole book. It means that they care about the book. It means that the translation can't be lost. It means people can't say anything about the Quran like they say in the Bible. The Quran is the Quran, and that's it. So I was, that was like, it, like you say, it just kept on getting better. Like, whoa, I'm in the right place. Something's about to happen. I know it. And so long story short, we sat there and we listened to the khutbah, and it came to the time for us to get up and pray, or for them to get up and pray, because remember, I'm still not a Muslim. And I didn't even go there with the purpose of becoming a Muslim. I just wanted to see. So Omar told me, look, could you like sit over there by the side? We're going to all line up in rows and we're going to pray. So just watch us and then we'll talk to you later. I said, fine. So these big muscular, you know, killers, thugs, gangster, ex-gangsters, ex-killers, ex-this, ex-that. Imam said, Allahu Akbar. And I saw a change in all of the Muslims' face and their demeanor. They all became humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I was just like, oh.
You're observing. You're sitting from the side observing. You're not actually taking part in the prayer yet.
I'm not in the prayer. I'm just sitting on the side, close to the second row, just like, okay. And I'm listening to the imam recite the Quran, and I was just like, whoa. Okay, it's taken off. It's getting better and better. And I decided, you know, he told me to sit there. But no, I was there for answers. I was looking for God. I wanted to find God. I was looking for God my whole life. And, you know, the Quran, the wudu, the truth of the Quran. No, I'm here for answers. So I got up and I went to the side of the front row and I did one of these. I was like, I looked at their face in the front row. I didn't care. I was there for answers. I just wanted to see them. And they were just, they were lost. They weren't lost. They were lost in the love and the adoration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I just thought, oh, but if anybody wants to ask me, Ali, what did it for you? What made you become a Muslim? How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open your heart to Islam? It was none other than the moment when these prisoners, these Muslims, made sujood. That was it.
The prostration.
Prostration.
Watching them pray like Jesus prayed.
Right. When I saw this, it's almost like, you know, when you get into cold water, you say, like, it was overwhelming. They called each other to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had washed their hands and their feet and their face and their arms. They had recited the holy book. They are humbled in front of their Lord. And now they put their faces on the ground. It was at that point where Islam became completely irresistible. Completely irresistible. And I had to have it. And I decided right there, I'm going to become a Muslim.
You made the decision. Up until then, did you know about the six articles of faith, the five pillars, the pure monotheism, the worship of one and only one God, Prophet Muhammad being the final messenger and a line of messengers? Was this all clear to you?
Absolutely crystal, but I didn't make the commitment. I didn't go to Juma to become a Muslim. I just wanted to see what they did. So after the Juma, Omar came up to me. I had sat back down and Omar said, so what do you think? And I said, Omar, I said something out of ignorance. And this is the ignorance of a lot of white Americans. I said something foolish out of ignorance. I said, I don't know. I don't see any white people in Islam, but you have to make an exception for me. I'm going to become a Muslim today, and I'm not leaving until you teach me, or you accept me, or show me the way how to be a Muslim. You're going to make it. You're going to make a consideration for me." And all of the Muslim brothers were like, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." And Omar said, "No, you can become a Muslim right now." Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I lit up like, I can. And we all sat in a circle in 1991 in October. And I said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh."
That was it. You took your shahada, your testimony of faith, and you became a submitter, one who submits his will to the creator of heavens and earth, a Muslim.
Alhamdulillah, I did.
Alhamdulillah. And you've been making videos, and I want to get into one of those videos, because this is something that is crystal clear, that it goes with the human nature, that God is one and alone worthy of worship. Human beings go ahead and take creation as worship. The messengers call people back to creation, to worship the creator of creation, God Almighty, the creator Allah in Aramaic, Allaha. This is the same God. And we even have so much evidence and proof. You know, a lot of times you'll see these ads come up sometimes, and someone will talk about how they came towards Jesus. They saw a dream, an emotional experience. But you have so much evidence, you know, and you have so much proof. And one of those proof you discuss or you're commenting on, and I want you to react to this here in this video, about Prophet Muhammad even being in the Bible.
In the Bible.
Before I dive into Bible Hub, I need to show you this thing that Muslims believe. Muslims believe that the Prophet was in a cave of Hira, and the angel came to him and asked him to read. The Prophet replied, "I don't know how to read." Now, if you go to Isaiah 29:12, here's what it says. It says, and I can't be making this up, it says, "Then the book will be given to the one who is illiterate, saying, 'Please read this,' and he will say, 'I cannot read.'" Now, it gets crazier. Now, look at this. Now, keep in mind, that's what the current version of the Bible says. I wonder what the most authentic version of the Bible would say about this verse. Like, maybe there's more context. We don't know. So if you go to the oldest version of the Bible, okay, here's the website. All right, let's go. Let's go to Isaiah. All right, so here it is. I'm just going to zoom in. This literally doesn't get any more authentic than this, literally. Okay, watch this. Now, the most authentic version says something different. Okay, I want you guys to pay attention to this. Look at how it's all uppercase, very nicely organized. But then it looks like someone scribbled in an E there. And someone scribbled in a C there. It doesn't look like that was meant to be there. It looks like it was supposed to be X-I-P-A. Because look at how squished the E is here, but not here. Like, all the other letters are perfectly spaced out, but with this one, it looks like someone just put in an E and a C. I think it was supposed to be X-I-P-A. Let's look in Hebrew what X-I-P-A means, okay? Let's look what happened. And there it is. Look, I'm going to click play. Listen very carefully. Listen to how it sounds like.
Hira.
Oh my goodness. Guys, the first miracle is that in the Bible, it literally says the book will be given to the one who is illiterate, saying, "Please read this," and he'll say, "I cannot read." This is literally what Muslims believe. Like, the Bible is telling you that the forecoming of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. When you give it more context, you literally can literally see, okay, that it's being squished in. Someone put an E and a C. It's not a big, look at all the other letters. Look at how all spaced out it is. Look at how this E looks like. Why doesn't that E look like that? Look at how this E looks like. Why doesn't that E look like that? It looks like someone forced it. So when you put X-I-P-A, how it's supposed to look like, guess what it says? The context of this is that it's in the cave of Hira. The same thing that Muslims believe, that the Prophet was in the cave of Hira, revealing this revelation.
So you verified this? You shared this? I mean, this was a talk. Go ahead and unpackage that. What were you thinking, and what was the strong message that's coming from this?
Look, the message is this to the Christians. I don't know exactly how to unpack it. All I know to say is, to the Christian, our brothers in humanity that are watching this, Islam is much older than what you think. The message of the prophets are not different. There is not different types of religions, except dietary laws. Like, you know, the Jews have the kosher, we have halal, and that's about it. But the message of Jesus is the same. All of the anbiya, all of the prophets are brothers. All of them are telling you throughout, you know, the 124,000 prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, the same thing all throughout creation. God is one. Come to prayer, give sadaqah, treat your fellow man right. And this is just a proof. I have many other videos that talk about this. And my message is this to the Christians. You just don't know. I have been a Muslim. I was your brother. I was your son. I was your colleague for 19 years of my life. I know Christianity left, right, and center. I know it inside and out. I was one of you. And now I'm a Muslim. I am a person that knows both sides of the coin. You do not know both sides of the coin. When somebody wants to learn about Christianity, who do they go to? They go to a priest. They go to a pastor. When somebody wants to know about Judaism, where do they go? Naturally, to a rabbi. But I find it sad that when the world wants to know about Islam, unfortunately, they go to well-known Islamophobes. Mm-hmm. They search about why is Islam untrue? Mm-hmm. I don't want to know if it is true. I don't want to know anything about it. It can't be true, right? It can't, because that's a religion of violence, right? Islam can't be true. And so, unfortunately, the Christians get this thing in their mind that Islam is this, and that's all I need to know. Oh, thank God that Islam is not true. Well, I hold that thought for a minute. Don't say thank God so easily, because Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. And there is a reason for that. There is a reason why probably one of your sons, maybe even a niece, maybe even your husband, has left Christianity and become a Muslim. There is a reason why 20,000 Christians in America alone, we're just talking about America, become Muslim every single year. Wow. And it's not because of violence. It's not because of oppression. It's because it's true. It's because the Quran has been preserved and it proves itself time and time again. That is why. So my message to the Christian listeners out there, you really need to humble yourself and stop learning Islam from the people that are combating Islam, and ask us, watch the Dean Show, go to, any Islamic, reputable Islamic site and learn Islam. I promise you, when you're exposed to the real Islam, the authentic Islam, it's hard for me to say that you would turn it away. Mm-hmm. Because when I experienced Islam, it was irresistible. I cannot imagine myself not being a Muslim. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabit qalbi ala dinik. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep my heart Amen. To the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot imagine living in any other way. So Christians, please, all I'm asking, give Islam a chance and learn it from an authentic source. I'm begging you.
Great advice. A couple more questions before we conclude. Yeah, this is amazing, this video, because there's so much proof, signs upon signs, evidence upon evidence. And just in here, this mountain that's mentioned, the cave Hira, it's there. And it seemed like they were doing something with the text there. I don't know what he was saying with the, would they change it? They tried to change it or something? Or
they,
what was
they
it?
They snuck in a letter to change the sound of Hira. So that's the whole point. They snuck in a letter.
That's the point. Okay, they tried to put in something to change it, but when you go ahead and you listen to it, this is the cave that the revelation came to Prophet Muhammad. And then there's others signs there. There's just too many. It's not coincidence. It's if somebody's sincere and they're humble, they're open-minded, and then if they observe the message makes sense. Worship one God and one God alone. The confirmation that Jesus was a messenger, clarifying who he was, who he wasn't, and how to run your life, how to run your family, how to run a country. Everything is there laid out in Islam. It's just too much for one man to go ahead and come up on his own. It's not possible. It's impossible. And you have this Quran as a living miracle, and it's there. And you've beautifully stated how you know both sides of the coin. So this is great advice. Look at the other side and don't go to the professional Islamophobes who get paid for bashing Islam. come to the qualified sources to go ahead and learn and then make your decision from there, like you did.
That's Islam, one more point. I mean, Islam is so clear, like you were saying. It's mm-hmm. so easy to understand.
Easy.
We Muslims, out of the three Abrahamic faiths, that is Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, you know, the Muslims say, La ilaha illallah. The Jews say, hear you, Israel, the Lord your God is one. And so the Jews and the Muslims, we agree with each other as far as, you know, God. But when the Christians say, oh, wait a minute, we believe in one God too. And, you know, show us in the Bible where God said, or Jesus said that he's God. Well, this one verse, I am that I am. And, you know, that's what turns me away from Christianity. Islam is so clear. Judaism is so clear about God. Why can't Christianity be so clear? And why is it just full of riddles? I am that I am. No, we want to see, we want to read, I, Jesus, am God. But it does not exist in the Bible. And the problem is the Christians have taken it upon themselves to appoint themselves as mujtahideen, as mufassirin, people that have this self-appointed power to pick apart and translate the meanings of the Bible when they have no right to do so. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Christianity, reading the Bible, first of all, they'll tell you, if you don't read the if you don't understand the Bible, that means that you don't have the Holy Spirit. And so I made a video called The Father, the Son, and the Holy Segue, because they always use the Holy Spirit as a segue. Oh, you don't understand? Well, you didn't know Jesus that way. That's why. You don't understand the Bible, and this is you think it's a contradiction? You're not reading it with the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, this is not a religion. And I did another video about, you know, the Council of Nicaea, how they decided what Christianity was and what it wasn't. And, you know, my question is, why isn't Christianity so clear? Why? When Judaism is, and Islam is the ultimate clarity of what we should be doing and how we should be believing.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, how did your father take to it? Is he someone who is he still part of your life? Did he, when he found out, how did he take to it? What was his reaction?
I wrote a letter to my two half brothers and my one half sister, telling them how I became a Muslim and why. Mm-hmm. I wrote a letter to my father as well. And so they got the letter, and I just called my father. Excuse me. I called my father, and instead of saying hello, he said, you son of a, don't you ever tell, you know, your brothers and your sister about this Islam nonsense. Of course, he didn't say nonsense. I'm just, you know, a bunch of explicitives. Mm-hmm. And you're no son of mine, and blah, blah, blah. And so it kind of settled down. And I said, he actually threatened me. And he said, listen, it's either Islam or it's us. And remember, I've told you that I've been raised like Mus'ab ibn Umair, very, very well off. And he said, you know your inheritance. Mm. I said, yes. He said, you know that the house and the land and everything? I said, yes, sir. He said, you know, if you persist in this Islam nonsense, I will go to my lawyer tomorrow and I will write you out of my will, and you will have absolutely nothing.
Wow. So he's threatening you with the inheritance. Now that's it. All the money is going to be gone. No more wealth.
And, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not going to say the number, but it was six figures, and it was a huge house, and it was land on that house. And he said, you know, he gave me an ultimatum. And I said, immediately, I choose Islam.
You said, I choose just like Islam. That.
Wow. By the time he finished his sentence, I said, I choose Islam. And he said, okay. So before you become dead to me and penniless. I want to know why. I got to have some closure as to why. And I said, Dad, look, you're my father, whether you're pleased or you're not pleased with me. I'm your son, whether you're pleased or you're not pleased with me, whether I'm a Muslim, whether I'm a Jew or a Christian. I can obey you on every single aspect of my life, and I have. But when it comes to matters of akhirah, or the hereafter, when it comes to the day of judgment, which, by the way, is a day which, Dad, I can't say anything for you, and you can't say anything for me. I will answer, and I will be in front of God, the Almighty, just like you will. And I won't be swayed by all the money in the world. I can't. This is something that I've been looking for my whole life, and I finally found it. And God is the one that provides for me anyway. God is the one that created me. And so I rely on God 100%. So do you respectfully do what you got to do. You will find that I will be a Muslim, and I have become a Muslim, and I will stay a Muslim, and I will die a Muslim. And he did just that. He went to his lawyer the next day, sent me a copy that I was completely out of his will. And I said, I looked at the letter and I said, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of my whole lineage, which comes from Norway, out of my whole lineage, I am the only one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to give hidayah. And so I have everything. If I don't have Islam and I have $1 million, what do I have? I have nothing. Mm-hmm. But if I have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, I have everything. I have salvation to live on this earth for another week or two or a couple of years or 30 years, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides for me, at least, yeah, that I could die, inshallah, with La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah on my lips and return to my Lord with him being pleased with me. Isn't that everything? Isn't that the ultimate victory of my life? Becoming a Muslim and having Allah pleased with me and dying upon Islam? Total victory, the ultimate victory. So alhamdulillah, I'm very content with my life, with what's happened to me. And the greatest thing that's ever happened to my life is that I became a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it.
So your family originally from Norway?
Well, my grandfather immigrated from Norway, yeah.
From Norway, I see. So the last couple
of Viking lineage.
Viking lineage, you got Viking lineage. Yes, so I heard a lot of Vikings also in some of the coins I've seen. You see some writing from some Arabic calligraphy there. Have you seen some of these? They say some of the Vikings might have come over to Islam.
Yeah, the rings as well. They were buried with the rings, and there's some tapestry that Vikings were. You know, actually, Ibn Fadlan, he, you know, I don't know if you've seen the movie 13th Warrior. That's actually a real book that it was based off of. Uh-huh. And the Vikings and the Muslims, they did meet on the Volga River. And they actually clashed with the Umayyad Abbasid. I can't remember, but they actually clashed at Al-Andalus with the Vikings. And the Muslims actually lost on the first encounter. Mm-hmm. But the second encounter, they were the only ones that actually defeated the Vikings. And so the Khalifa at that time, he said, he saw an opportunity. He said, here are some people that are like warriors. I can use them. Mm-hmm. So he actually came to one of the chieftains of the Vikings and said, you guys want a job? And the Vikings were like, yeah, what's up? Is there gold in it? He said, yeah. So basically the job was patrol, but, you know, come under our authority. You don't have to become Muslims, but patrol our coastline. from Portugal all the way down to the Moroccan coast, all the way to Sicily and back, and just protect our coastline. And the Vikings said, okay. But not only that, a lot of them became, there's two towns in, I believe, Portugal or southern Spain that are known, are Viking, a lot of Vikings settled there, and they became Muslim. So,
wow. That's amazing. So when you were studying the Bible and Bible study, did you know that Matthew didn't write Matthew, that you had a lot of these anonymous books? Did you know any of that?
None of it. We were never told that. This is the book of God, and don't question the book of God. Mm-hmm. I never knew any of this stuff. They never teach you that.
No. And now I'm pretty sure I want to just show one of the miracles and how the Quran is preserved. And you've been a Muslim now for how many years? Is it 30?
31 years. This October 31. Will be 32 years.
And every Muslim is aspiring to memorize the Quran, bits of it, chunks of it, the whole of it. And if I ask you now to recite any part of the Quran, one that identifies who God Almighty, Surah Ikhlas, for example, Kul Hu Allahu Ahad, you'd go ahead and if you can recite that for us, because this defines who it's shows how the Quran is preserved. Someone who's not a native Arabic speaking person, not an Arab, you're an American, formerly a Christian, now Muslim, and it's just like somebody asking you to recite something original that Jesus might have had in Aramaic, but we don't have anything original. But the sister language to Aramaic is Arabic. So would you go ahead and I'll put you on the spot, but can you recite this for us? And this actually defines who God is in this very short chapter of the Quran.
Absolutely. And this is, to the Christian viewers, this is another proof that if I recite this wrong, automatically Eddie will say, wasn't it? Wait a minute, you made a mistake on this one word. That is a miracle in itself. If I were to read the Bible and I said a different wording or a different meaning, no Christian would stop me. They would think, But with the Quran, I am not a native Arabic speaker. I'm Norwegian. I'm an American. But if when I recite the Quran, when I recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, people will either say, yes, you have recited it correctly, word for word, letter for letter, or they will say, no, brother, you have made a mistake. And with that, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. Now Eddie, have I recited the Surah Al-Ikhlas correctly?
Yes, mashallah. Beautiful.
Alhamdulillah.
So in here, what does it actually mean? What did you say? What's the meaning here?
قل هو الله أحد. Say that Allah is one, the unique. Allahu Samad, Allah, the eternal. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He was never born, nor does he give birth. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And there is none like him or comparable to him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, laysa kamithlihi shay wa huwa samiyul basir. There is nothing comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although he sees and he hears. Sadaqallahul Azeem.
MashaAllah. Thank you very much. And we'll conclude with that. Thank you for being with us here, sharing your wonderful story. If people want to get in touch with you, if they want to see some of your videos, how can they connect with you?
Yeah, I have TikTok, Maliki Click, same name on this video. I have YouTube, Maliki Click as well. And I don't know if you allow me to plug my Patreon, inshallah, could I do that? Or
sure, go ahead.
Okay, so if you want to help the dawah out, you can help me out that on with a monthly subscription on Patreon/MalikiClick. I sure would appreciate it. I mean, the Jews get behind the Jews, and the Christians get behind the Christians. Even the Islamophobes get behind the Islamophobes, and they support them. So I'm requesting, for you to help me out, as well as Eddie, as well as all the da'is, inshallah. So Patreon, Maliki Click, you can really help me out. I appreciate it. And I have to say, I was raised in Islam, basically on this show this show is priceless. It's valuable. It needs to be supported. And I just can't believe that I'm actually here with you, brother. I love you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's such an honor to be on your show.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless you and use this as a source of goodness for so many people who are listening, watching this story, that they can also reflect upon it and inshallah come to the truth like you did.
Amen.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed listening to your story. Amazing. Amazing.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Jazakallah. And so what you got to hear was, this is the verbatim word of God Almighty, Allah, the Quran. And if you go to thedeanshow.com, I'll get you a free copy, a gift from me to you. And if you have any questions, don't be shy. Go ahead and call 1-800-662-ISLAM. That's 1-800-662-ISLAM. We'll go ahead and answer your questions, clear up the doubts, and we'll see you next time here on The Dean Show. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Listen, if you want an opportunity to support Dawah, to get the Sadaqatun Jariya, this is a project for you to do that. I'm saying to you very clearly, you know, whether it's a dollar or whether it's $1 million, this is the project that you need to support so we can have a template, you know, for Dawah and a community. And we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to duplicate this here 10 times all over America. This is Sheikh Khalid Yassin speaking to you from the Dean Dawah Center in Tampa, Florida. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.